Our study this morning is out of Proverbs chapter 30, verses 15 to 23. This is a second set in the Proverbs from Augur. The Proverbs of Augur, he was an unknown man that we don't know anything about, and he was a son of Jaca, and he wrote to Ithiel and Ucol, people that we have no knowledge of other than this particular verse, the first verse in Proverbs chapter 30. But the Proverbs of Augur comprise Proverbs 30, and we know they are canonical. In other words, they belong to the Bible because of the statement by Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verses 50 to 51. In that statement, Jesus implied that all of the prophets from Abel to Zechariah who perished between the altar and the temple, their blood would be upon the heads of that generation. And the first book in the Old Testament, the 39 book Old Testament of the Jews, was Genesis. The last was 2 Chronicles. Now, it's the same number of books, the same books, but they were just in a different order. So Jesus implied through that the divine inspiration of the book of Proverbs, and that would include Proverbs chapter 30. So even though we don't know who Augur was, it makes no difference. Jesus condoned the writing. So we view Proverbs 30, 15 to 23 of that collection of Proverbs for our edification. As follows. I'll start with the word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We thank you for the privilege that you have given us to be here this morning to fellowship around the word of God. We pray for the strength and the wisdom to comprehend the word of God and to use it. We ask for safety for those who are still in the process of digging out and safety as they come to church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'll read the verses and then we'll look at them. Beginning at verse 15 of Proverbs 30, I'm reading from the King James Version. The horse leech has two daughters crying, "Give, give." There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, "It is enough." The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that says, "It is not enough," or saith not, "It is enough." The eye that mocks as its father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, "I have done no wickedness." For three things the earth is disquieted, and from four it cannot bear. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he's filled with food, for an odious woman when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Okay, some of these have to be retranslated so we can understand the sense. Proverbs 3, verse 15a, teaches to the leech is two daughters. And we would translate it, the leech has two daughters. And give, give. There is no word they cry, but you supply the verb they cry. And daughters are dependents anyway, so the proverb teaches that a person who is a leech only produces intensifying demands for more donations if one seeks to help him. In other words, the more you give, the more he's going to be, the more his appetite will grow for receiving things. So we must not enable a leech by donating to him, but give to those who will profitably use our gift to enhance their future welfare. There's an old saying that if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a meal. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. In other words, we need to be wise in how we give. Giving to certain people actually doesn't enable them to get on their feet so much. This is the problem with the welfare system. A lot of people today find that they can actually make more money, it's easier for them to get their income from welfare than it is to go out and get a job. In fact, some people say, you know, why should I have to go work when I can get 20 grand a year just sitting at home doing nothing? So we need to be very careful to whom we give, and that we give it to a person who is going to utilize the money. The kind of person, ideal person to give, is a person who is struggling, they're doing their best, they're just trying to get it, but they're just shy. And all they need is maybe a couple hundred dollars more to put them over the top, and then they'll be free, and they can, okay, that kind of a person, you can give them a shot in the arm, maybe donate a couple hundred dollars to them, they get over the top, and they're self-sufficient. That's ideally the type of person that we need to give to. B, in alignment with Proverbs 30, verse 15a, Proverbs 30, verses 15b to 16 claims, behold, three things are never satisfied, four things that never say enough. The grave or Sheol, the restraint of or the barren womb, land which is never satiated with water, and fire which never says enough. Now these numerical proverbs use the X plus the X plus one format to stress the final X plus one item as the culmination or the product of its preceding items. In other words, when it says three or four or six, yea, seven, the last number is the one that's most important. Well, here the last important one is fire. And fire is destructive, and fire being destructive, it consumes all of these other things that are mentioned then are in the same pattern. In other words, the grave, which is destructive, it never says enough. A barren womb, a woman with a barren womb, especially in that culture where a woman's acceptance in society was based upon whether or not she had born children, specifically male children, that put pressure on them, and that often ended towards destruction. Land which is never satiated with water, that's destructive, that's a very dry land. So the implication is that we need to watch out for the grave. We need to watch out for a person, especially in that particular culture, who had a barren womb because there was an insatiable desire to have a child in order to be accepted, water and so forth. So there are some things that are very destructive. Now this proverb teaches in the context of the first part of verse 15, it teaches that the lust of the greedy is destructively never filled, so we must avoid all forms of greed. If someone has something that we don't have, or we're earnestly desiring something, that can be a dangerous thing. So we need to watch it and curb it in our own lives and watch out for people who have enormous amounts of greed. Proverbs 30, verse 17 asserts, the eye that mocks a father and despises obedience to a mother, the ravens of the torrent valley or wadi. A torrent valley is sort of like a culvert that was basically dry most of the year, but when you would have a flood rain, all of a sudden it would fill up. And a person might get caught in that wadi and he would drown, normally very quickly because the water would run very quickly and the body would be left afterwards. And the picture is a person who undercomes sudden divine judgment because of sin against the parents. And then the raven is an unclean animal, it's a scavenger. And it says the raven will actually dig out or dig the eye out of the socket, which is a pretty gruesome event here. And you have to remember in that particular culture, what happened to the body after death is almost as important as what happens to the body before death. So in our culture, you know, what happens to the body after death is really not that important a thing, but in those days and in that culture it is. So the picture here is of severe divine judgment. So the ravens of the torrent valley of the wadi will bore it out, and the son of a griffin vulture, that's a particular kind of a vulture, will actually eat it. And to have the birds of the air eat any part of a human body is seen as absolute desecration of the person, not just the body, but the person. In that particular culture. So God severely judges shaming one's parents. The last thing we should do then is to shame our parents. We need to honor our parents and respect them. Even if they're not honorable or not acting in an honorable way in a certain area, we need to be very, very protective of them. Proverbs 30, verses 18 and 19 teaches, there are three things that are too difficult or too amazing for me. Four things I do not understand, the way or the manner of the eagle in the heavens, the way or manner of a serpent upon a rock, and the way or manner of a male man at the height of his powers with a marriageable young woman or a maid. Now the word for man is not the typical word for man. It's not Adam, or neither is it the word ish, which would be nobleman. This is the word geber. Geber is often used of a warrior. It's a man in the height of his powers and the height of his vigor as a male man. And this would be a man who is looking for a bride. And the word alma is young woman who is of marriageable age. We translate it maid. Now all almas would be virgins, although this is not the technical word for virgin, but this is a woman who is marriageable. So a male man at the height of his powers has the influence advantage over a marriageable young woman at every level of courting. At the level of eye contact, this is the eagle in the sky that looks for food. Remember, eagles have very sharp eyesight. Of touch, the serpent on the rock. Now the serpent does not invade the rock. The serpent is gliding on the rock, but he's in contact with it. That's touch. And then of sexual intercourse, this would be a ship that is plowing the high seas. Part of the ship is in the water, part of it isn't. So young women have to take care to whom they allow themselves to be exposed at each such level. And men must control their actions at each such level to avoid fueling sinful immorality. I'll never forget one night, I got a telephone call from one of the men in our church. They had found the lesson. I had done this proverb on a lesson on dating. And he called me up thanking me. He appreciated me very much because he'd gotten into a discussion with his teen sons and daughters in regards to dating and how they needed to be careful in dating. And he needed some ammunition. And this series of verses here actually provided it for him, verses 18 and 19. It's very, very important. At the level of eye contact. See, courting occurs even at eye contact. Level of eye contact, then the touch, and then of the actual intercourse itself. At all three levels, the male man at the height of his powers actually has the influence advantage over a marriageable young woman. So a marriageable young woman has to be careful to whom she allows herself to be exposed to, even at the level of eye contact, let alone at the level of touch, and then, of course, the others. And a man has to be very careful with the eye contact that he exhibits and the touch and so forth because of the influence that he can have. So we need to be very careful about this. And it's very important to inform teens about these things. Proverbs 3:20 claims, thus is the way or the manner, Derek, of an adulterous wife. Na'ap is an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have not done anything even troublesome that will move on to wickedness. It's not the technical word for wickedness that we would translate, maybe transgression. This is the word awem, and it means something that is troublesome that will move on, or it's vain that will move on to wickedness. So a person who is adulterous, well, it could be an adulterous woman, we can apply it to an adulterous man, they have such a clouded sense of right and wrong that they don't recognize that what they're doing that may be a little off color, a little bad, can actually lead on to full sin. In other words, they have a distorted sense of right and wrong. So we need to be very, very careful from people that we run into who are coarse this way. One of the characteristics of prostitutes, you'll find either male or female, is that they have a tendency to be very coarse people. That's because their sense of right and wrong has been affected and hurt. And this is why they do what they do. So, immoral people are calloused to a sense of right and wrong at all levels, a telltale characteristic to avoid. Then Proverbs 30, verses 21 through 23 asserts, under three things the earth quakes, and under four things it is not able to bear up. Under a servant who becomes king, under one who lacks spiritual perception and who is satiated with food, under an unloved woman who is wed, and under a maidservant who dispossesses or who replaces her mistress. Now, in each one of these cases, you have people who have come to a position of power where they don't have the ability to lead in that position. And so it creates an imbalance. So harmony in society is encouraged when people maintain their proper roles and do not assume positions that they are not capable of handling. This is so important. Sometimes a job opening might come our way, or an opportunity for advancement might come our way. And if we're really not equipped to do well in that job, we're much better off not taking it. Because if we take it, and then our overseers find out that we're not that capable in that particular area, it'll actually hurt our rapport, hurt our record. So we need to take a job or to function in a ministry where we know we have the capacity, God has given us the gift for that area, and to excel in that. You're better off working in a situation where it's slightly below your ability, because you can express your ability to the fullest, than it is to take a job where it's slightly over our ability, because it doesn't make us look that well, doesn't make us look that good. So we need to be careful about not overextending ourselves. This can be in the job situation, it could be in a ministry, in a church situation, could be in a role in a family, whatever. So that's basically what these series of Proverbs are teaching, verses 21 to 23. Harmony in society is encouraged when people maintain their proper roles. Do not assume positions that they are not capable of handling. Okay, may we align with God's fixed moral order in each of these realms for blessing. And as has been our practice in the past, we'll open it up now for questions or feedback. It could be on any one of the Proverbs that we've just read through this morning, or it could be on another subject that comes up, and we'll seek our best to answer this. Yes?